kindness and forgiveness, and He loves me when I do really, really good, and He does loves me when I do okay. And He loves me. Do you ever see this illustration? I should almost live it out more, but I've never forgot it. I've never forgot it. Carrie Genovese Johnson, I got this from her years ago, and it just stuck with me. I was a new Christian, never forgot it. It's at the Baptist church, and she is a person in a park bench. And she's sitting in the park bench, and she's going, "He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me." And as the last "He loves me" comes out, an individual was walking by and saw the excitement with which she said, "He loves me." And the fellow walking by said, "Who loves you?" And she goes, "Jesus." And he goes, "Well, I could have told you that." And she goes, "Why didn't you?" I never forgot it. I thought it was pretty good. You know, just God loves you. I wonder how many times the body of Christ is quick to tell the world what they're doing wrong and slow to tell the world how much God loves them. How many of us think of that verse of Romans chapter 2, verse 4, where it says, "And it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance." And you know what we are? We are vessels and carriers of His goodness. Amen. To let it flow through us. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I love sharing things with people that make them smile and make them laugh and make them happy, as opposed to making them cry. Sometimes I get to do both, but I know which one I enjoy the most. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you and worship you and thank you so much for this day. And I thank you, God, that the dream, the plan, it is still alive. It's totally intact. It's never lost a thing. Thank you for that, Father God, and your dream and your plan for our church and for the days to come. It's well secure. It's in place. And I thank you for that, Father God. And then as we look in your word today and as we take time out of our lives and set you in a place of preeminence at this moment in your word and the working of the Holy Spirit, Father. Like Diana said earlier, as we draw near to you, you draw near to us. And that's just exactly what's happening. So thank you for opening up the eyes of our understanding. Thank you for flooding our hearts with light. Thank you that we're able to comprehend more and more with all the saints the greatness of that love that you have for us, the width and the length and the height and the depth. And God, that the scripture says it goes beyond comprehension, yet that we may know it. Father, that we experience, we have experiential knowledge of your love. We experience it more and more and more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, speaking of love, I'm doing an announcement. I'm not doing my sermon so I can be down on the floor. Okay. Tracy, will you wave at us all, please? We're so blessed to have Tracy here in our church with us. Praise God. Let's just give her a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Was it about a month and a half ago, Tracy, we prayed on the phone and you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Praise God. Right now, I just want to put this out, and maybe somebody in here can do this. Maybe it'll work for somebody. But Tracy would like to find somebody who, for about 14 hours a month, 14 hours a week.
No, every 2 weeks.
14 hours every 2 weeks. Help her with maybe like a ride back and forth to Rapid City with some house cleaning, with different things like that. And then you will get paid. You'll get paid through the state, and they pay $15 an hour. So if there's anyone in here that says, "You know what? I can do that. I can do some house cleaning. I can, you know, help. I can give a ride back and forth to Rapid." So if that works for anybody in here, visit with Tracy about it. And then it'll take about a month to go through the process with the state. all right, to get approved. If that just works for anybody in here and you just want to pour out the love of God and get paid at the same time, go ahead. Amen? Hallelujah. So, praise God. Sometimes when I'm, you know, getting prepared for Sundays and messages, I have to dig and dig and dig and dig and dig. And then there's sometimes I don't have to dig at all. They just keep pouring out. Well, that's the way today is. Today just keeps pouring out. And today's message isn't just for today. Today's message is for the future as well as today. Because it's crazy. I love God so much. But I can stand here and I can look back over the last 3 to 4 months. And I can look at the sermons. And I can look at what God has been sharing with us as a church. And I can stand here. And I can look into the future. And I can see what God's got in store for us. What he's wanting us to do. Okay? Now I want to exhort you in something. A big part of those past sermons that were ministered are radically vital to do. And a lot of those sermons in them had prayer, praying prayers. A lot of them had sermons to do with bringing the Holy Spirit more into your prayer life and more into your life. And we're going to look at a verse of scripture in Galatians chapter 16. You can open your Bible to that, Galatians chapter 16. And I'm going to be reading out of the passage Bible again. Galatians chapter 4, I meant verse 19, forgive me please. But we've been talking about in the past, there's been prayer. We spoke of, I don't remember for sure, it's in my notes, Romans chapter 8, where it talks about interceding on behalf of saints, praying out the perfect will of God for believers. We've been talking about prayer, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, haven't really got much into Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 9, but these prayers, I want to share with you. The messages that we've been teaching in the past are vital for what's in the future. Because the messages from the past, when done and applied, are going to open up and reveal more of what the Father wants to do through us and with us in the future. Amen? And you know, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong in this. You're here because the things of the Father, the things of God, matter to you. Amen? They matter to you. They're important to you. How many of you could be somewhere else? Can I get a show of hands? How many of you could be somewhere else right now? If you chose to be, you could be somewhere else. You don't have to be here. But you chose to be here because this matters to you. This is important to you. Amen? That's awesome because it's important to the Father. We're important to the Father. We play a huge part in his plan. And I'll bet you, you're here and you have a hunger and a desire to be used more and more, to walk closer and closer, to pick up more finally what the Father has, to go through your day in those little whispers and those little nudges that he has for you, for someone, you pick up on them. And just light shines more and more and greater effectiveness in your life as a believer. Amen? Praise God, we're all in the right place. Amen? And it does matter. It really, really is important. It makes a difference in the world. It makes a huge difference in the world. Just a question, and you get to think for a moment. How many of you could come up a time in your life where some little thing was spoken to you? It wasn't a great big thing. It was maybe one or two sentences. Somebody shared it with you, or some small thing was given to you, yet it had a profound impact on your life. How many of you can think of it? Go ahead, think about it, ponder it. But you can think of one of those. And then once you got one, just raise your hand. Just slip your hand up. If you can think of one of those times, and keep it up for a while. I want to see what happens here. It was a word from somebody. It was a gift from somebody. It was something that somebody did for you. You know, and you can just like, wow. You know, I think if we kept going and you keep thinking, you'd go, okay. And I don't plan on calling you and asking you to share what that is. So if you're keeping your hand down for that reason, don't. I can remember, you know, most hands are going up. Most hands are going up. Some little thing. You can still think about it. How many of you, how many years ago was it? Some of you shout out how many years ago, whether it was 10 or 20 or 30. Just shout out. 20, 17? 20? 15? About 20? This year? Amen? 30? I can go back to 33. At Rhema, it was really tough. I mean, financially, it was so amazingly tough at Rhema. And it was important for me to be there. It was really important for me to be there and for be there 2 years. And oh, boy. We didn't starve to death, but it was close. It felt close sometimes. I tell you what, that week, and when I opened up the refrigerator for about 5 days in a row, and there was one orange in there, man, you know, it was tough. And we went through our first year, and we're into our second year. You get in between first and second year, and it's so tough, I don't know that we can do it again. Don't know that I want to do it again. And Rusty Spears, she's in heaven now, isn't she? Not sure. From the Baptist Church. Went to war for us at a meeting. And the church then sent us a check for $78. We were days from packing up and leaving. Days away. That was our plan. To stay there another year and to go through that. Come back, work really, really hard, make a lot of money, and then go back. Well, I found out most students that do that never come back. They don't make it back. But that check for $78 changed everything. We stayed. Praise God. Praise God. Changed everything. That small thing. Wow. I don't know what the course our life would have taken had we left there. Isn't that awesome? Those little things that people have spoken to you, those kind words, those gifts, whether little or big, wow, what an impact they have. How valuable they are, how precious they are. Amen? Hallelujah. So I can stand here and I can look at the past and the sermons that have been taught and ministered and know why and know what the Father is wanting to get done. A repeated phrase that you will hear in the future. The Word, you, and the Holy Spirit. Boy, if we can get those three things all working together. God's Word, me, and the Holy Spirit. Wow. God's Word, you, and the Holy Spirit working together. How huge. What can get accomplished? What can get done? Amen? So God's wanting us to have more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. More of the influence, more of the working of the Holy Spirit. Us spending more time, spending in time, praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. Okay? And then in the future, he's got some things he wants to reveal. He wants to show us. Part of my heart's cry for this is found in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. And I can read it. I'll read it out of both Bibles. Let me just read it out of the New King James and then out of the passage. It makes it a little clearer. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Well, notice that word labor. Anybody ever done any labor? Any ladies ever labored and brought a child into this world? Bit intense. I liked what this one gal, some of you will remember the name Mike Warnicki. He's a Christian comedian back in the 70s and 80s and that, and pretty funny guy. His daughter had a friend who was going to give birth, and his daughter had given birth, And the friend of the daughter said, well, is it painful? Does it hurt? And she goes, well, take two fingers and your thumb, pinch your bottom lip, and squeeze as hard as you can. So the gal does that. She takes her two fingers and her thumb and just squeezes her bottom lip as hard as she can. And goes, okay, now does that hurt? Well, yeah, but it's not unbearable. And she goes, now stretch your bottom lip over your head. So, labor. Paul labored. He labored for the Galatians. He labored. It was intense. Let me read it for you out of the passage. For you, my dear children, but I agonize in spiritual labor pains once again. See, here's what happened. Paul labored for them in prayer for them to be born again, for them to be saved, for them to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love something Dad Hagen shared. It just blessed me so much. How many of you know there's some people, they'll hear the word of God and the message of salvation and they'll say yes and they're born again. And how many of you know there's some folks, they hear it and they hear it and they hear it and they resist and they're stubborn and they're just a tough nut to crack. Amen. You ever run across some of those people? Folks have just come, what's the deal? You know what? There's some folks, it requires laboring. It requires laboring in prayer, laboring in the Spirit for the revelation knowledge to hit that person's heart. You know, you think about different nuts in a bowl. Some nuts, walnuts, are pretty easy. Get two of them, put them together, and you're going to crack one of them. What are those black ones that I can't stand? Brazil nuts, kind of, yeah. Them things just don't crack real well. Amen? That's fine with me. I don't want to eat them anyway. But you know, there's a requirement of in prayer. There's some tough nuts out there. But now watch this. Again from the beginning, you are my dear children, but I agonize in spiritual labor pains once again until the anointed one will be fully formed in your hearts. What's he praying for? He's praying for their development as a believer. He's praying for their maturity as a Christian, that the revelation knowledge of the anointed one and who they are in Jesus Christ gets to fully grow and mature on the inside of them. And they come to the realization in their heart that they are who I am says they are. Amen? They come to that realization. They come to that revelation. And then guess what happens? They're strong. Go with me. We just left the notes. You know, we're close. Just one block over, Ephesians. Hallelujah. Book of Ephesians. This is why this is so important. And from a pastor's point of view, I might see things sometimes differently than folks do, okay? It just might happen because that's part of being a pastor. My heart hurts at times because I watch people no longer walking with the Lord, and my heart breaks, as I'm sure yours does. But sometimes I think pastors get to see that on a bigger scale and maybe know more of the details and the stuff going on behind the scenes and the whys. And it does. It aches. It can be tough. You know, it can wear on a person, I know. I hate it. I hate watching things of the world. I hate watching the enemy be able to successfully get in and take Christians out. Did you get to Ephesians chapter 4? Just picking up at verse 12. Man, Remember how I was telling you that some sermons I have to dig and dig and dig and dig for? This one I don't. I mean, I just meditate or talk or read a verse of scripture, and guess what happens? There's more of the sermon. There's more of the sermon. I got this sermon popping up all over the place. It might take me 2 years to finish this sermon. It could. It's just, there's so much, you guys. Okay. Ephesians 4. For the equipping of the saints. Just say, well, that's me. That's me. Amen. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, that's me. Go ahead, say that.
That's me.
For the edifying of the body of Christ, say, that's me.
That's me.
Wow, you know what I just read? Our job description. Specifically, the job description of the saints. You want to know what you're supposed to be doing as a saint? You want to know part of your job description? You're supposed to be, you have the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Building each other up. Part of that building up is done in prayer. Done in prayer. Praying for people. Praying for people. You know, you hear the phrase, pray it out. Or you hear the phrase, pray through. Pray through. Boy, I'll tell you what, that can really apply when you're praying for somebody else. Pray through. Pray through. Pray through. You see clearly what you're supposed to say and do for that individual. Or the other part might be till they see clearly what they're supposed to see. Amen? Just in prayer for them. Just in prayer for them. And what happens when somebody, when the anointed one is fully formed on the inside? Watch this verse of scripture. This is why we came here. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. Take that word perfect and put mature there. A mature man to the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. How many of you know we each carry a part and all put together equals the fullness? Till we all come to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a mature man, to the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness by which he lies and waits to deceive. You know what? We're supposed to be so mature, and we can get to the place where we're so mature as believers that every wind of doctrine and the tricky, cunning craftiness by which men lie in wait to deceive doesn't get us. How many of you like the thought of that? I love the thought of that. And how many of you know that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one? You know Satan's working behind the scenes. He's swaying men, trying to influence them to what? Trick Christians, get them to get into doubt, get them to be deceived, get it to where he can take them out. Amen. I'll tell you what, I think, let's be praying. Let's be praying. Praying for what? Till Christ is fully formed. Till Christ is fully formed. Till Christ is fully formed. You know what happens when Christ is fully formed? There's a unity of the faith. Everybody say unity. When Christ is fully formed in us, there's a unity of the faith. Wow. That means divisions disappeared. That means it's very hard for the enemy to divide and conquer. Dang, this is good stuff. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody says, well, you should leave your notes more often. Anyway, how important it is. Till Christ is fully formed. How many of us in here will just to commit to increase our prayer time for one another? To increase our prayer time for one another. Spending time praying in the Spirit. Spending time praying in tongues for one another. Praying in the Spirit for one another. Spend time doing that. Getting out Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14 on down. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, chapter 3, verse 14 on down. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 on down. You just, and then just start, will you do that? Till Christ is fully formed. till Christ is fully formed. And don't just pray for people that are in the middle of a trial or a battle, amen? Pray for people who are doing well. Pray for me, please. Pray for me, please. Pray for Diana, please. You know, but do, be praying for people. Why? Till Christ is fully formed. Till Christ is fully formed in us. Go with me, if you would, please, now, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. Once you get there, put a marker there. And we'll see if we go somewhere else first. Or before we get there. How much is hidden inside of each one? In this room? How much life? How many treasures? How much goodness is inside each one of us? Any idea? Do you think about it? Can I share a story I don't share very often, but I heard it at my sister Anne's. It was written on the back of a thing with my sister Anne's life, and I've shared it a few times in here, and it's just paints such a beautiful picture. My sister Anne, she broke her hip when she was a little girl. Fell out of the rafters playing tag. That's how we grew up. We played tag in the rafters. And the rafters were like 25 feet off the floor. And she fell and she landed on a motor that had the shaft sticking out. You know, an electrical motor, a big one. And she fell and hit her hip and messed her hip up. And as a result, she had gained weight, you know, as a little girl. And she was big her whole life. And, you know, I didn't realize that she was in pain her whole life until she was maybe a few years before she died and had an operation and it fixed her hip, took the pain away. But she was big. How many of you know in this world today, the world, society will tell you, well, you got to be a certain size. You got to be a certain shape. Okay? And Anne wasn't that. And she died, and this little story about this guy who had found on the ocean in a cave, he found a sack full of clay balls. Did you ever do that as a kid? The mud is just right, and you pick up the mud and you roll it. It makes those perfect little clay balls about an inch round, whatever size you want. How many of you ever did that? I did. Amen. I would make them and stuff, and this guy found a sack full of those little clay balls. There must have been 100 in this sack. And he takes it out, and he's walking down the beach, and he just starts tossing them out into the ocean. He does this for quite a while, and he's thrown about half of them away into the ocean. And then one falls and hits a rock just right and breaks open. And inside is a diamond. And he's like, oh, my gosh. And then he starts breaking them all open. And every one of them had a diamond in it. He just threw all those diamonds away because he just looked at the outside. And all he saw was a clay ball. How many treasures are in here? How many treasures are inside of you? It doesn't really matter what the outside looks like. How many treasures are in you? I'm going to do this just because we talked about it. We'll see if the system is working. But I've asked the worship team to help me. And they're going to help me, so Diana's coming up, and the rest of the worship team's coming up. Do we have drums? You're turning that on to see. Our system went down at the end of worship. How many of you noticed it? Part of our system just stopped working. Is there anything, babe?
Yes, there is.
Yay! It's back on. There's juice. Amen. So our worship team's going to help us here. Okay, we know the plan. We got it down. You ready? Got your song? Okay. I actually get to bring them in. I get to time them in. I get them. You just let me know, and I'll get them. You know, we've always been talking about me singing in church. Not today. So are we there? Jenny, you got the sound ready? Amen. Amen. Okay. Did she just turn you off?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm good.
All right. Ready? One, two, three. What song were you singing? How many of you could even make out what was going on?
Make out Rick's
love to hear you sing,
man. I asked them all to do that for a reason. Okay? Each one of them was playing absolutely just fine. Each one of them that was singing absolutely just fine. Amen? But they were all doing something independent of the other. And to us out here, how did it sound? Was it working? Was it confusing? Yeah. But what happens when they all take their gifts and there's been some communication going on ahead of time and they get on the same page? You ready? Second one any better? Yeah. Amen. How many of you could find yourself joining in?
Amen.
Now, what I think you catch one of the points that I'm trying to make. Here's one of them. Every one of you in here has a precious gift.
Amen.
And my guess is way more than one. Independent and not hooked up and harmonizing with the gifts around, they don't accomplish near what God intended.
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. You know, in both songs, Rick was playing the bass beautifully. In one song, it was really appreciated. In the other one, we just had confusion. Amen? So, thank you, guys. Amen. Each one has a gift. I'm going to go to Matthew 25 now and quit. Do you know how hard? I think that's pretty hard for the worship team to get up there and to do music where they know it's just going to be bad. Was that tough on you guys? I saw Jen's face. How about you, babe? So I think great big thank you to them for doing something that they would prefer not to do. But how many of you say, well, that works. That makes a point. We see that. I just want to read here, and I got one little thought that I'm going to leave with you, but I don't want to do today without doing this. Matthew 25, I'm going to start reading at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. I love that verse, that part of that verse right there. Each according to his own ability. God will not give somebody something that is beyond their own ability. Anything he asks us to do, we are capable of doing it. That's freeing to me. That's so freeing to me. He will never ask me to do something that I can't accomplish. And I understand that accomplishment is done with him, never apart from him. I get that. But I trust him enough to know he'll never give me more than I can do. Never give me no more than I can handle. If he asks me to do something, it can be done. It can be done. I got a promise right here that blesses me. Okay? According to his own ability, and immediately went on a journey. And he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Okay, I've read enough. The Father showed me this in a little bit different way. As a pastor, he has brought lots of talents into this body. As a pastor, he has gifted me with a lot of talents. You all. Am I allowing those talents a place to flourish? Am I helping those talents to be unearthed and uncovered? I'm seeing it in that light. Because I don't want to stand before the Father and have him say, I brought this talent and this talent and this talent and this talent into Living Outreach Church. And it never, never came to and fulfilled what it was supposed to. I don't want to hear that. Now, I understand this. How many of you know, with all those talents, that not every one of those talents will be used in church here on Sunday morning? How many of you know that? And I actually believe that the vast majority, the greatest use of those talents, will happen outside the four walls of the church. Amen? Most of the time, it'll happen outside the four walls of the church. Will it happen inside? Most definitely. Most definitely. But I can just share with you, and I'll share this in closing. This is what the Father wants us to be focusing on in the future. Is your gifts and your talents, my gifts and my talents, and getting all the clay knocked off the outside and finding the diamonds. Finding those precious stones. Amen? Hallelujah. And at my sister Anne's funeral, part of the acknowledgement from people when she passed away was they looked past, and I've actually read it, they looked past the exterior and saw what was on the inside. Amen. I'm just going to take you got something from this today. Please be praying, because you know, and I realize something, the vast majority of what I talked about today and what I shared today is not brand new. I know that. But it's still current. It's still relevant. It's still applicable. And it is vital. It's very, very necessary. Now, I could go to another verse of Scripture, but I won't. what he has for us, we're capable of doing. And it's easy and it's light. It doesn't have to be hard, because there's a grace and a mercy that goes with it. So, glory to God. Let's all go ahead and stand up. Amen. Yeah, if we're